Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach you at this point of the service, Lord, we're looking for you to come and speak to us from your word, to give us encouragement and uplift us, God, and give us guidance. We ask, Lord, for you to take the word today. Lord, bless the people with it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Last Thursday, we spoke on no doubt, and I want to continue with that same title, no doubt. But just look at it from a different perspective. In a 25th verse, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Amen. You may be seated. We read this scripture on Sunday when we were speaking on no fear, but I just came back to it because I just felt more to say about doubt, having no doubt. And one of the things I draw from this is that Peter, when he said, "If it be thou, bid me come," and Jesus said, "Come," Peter didn't doubt whether he was going to be able to walk on the water or not. Something that was not natural, but yet simply because Jesus bid him to come, he didn't doubt that he would be able to walk on the water. Now, if you were in a boat today and someone told you, "Walk on the water," I'm telling you right now, you'd doubt you could do it. But if it was Jesus there bidding you to do it, then I believe you'd be just like Peter and would go forth not doubting. But looking at Jesus bidding us to do other things, and we go forth and we don't doubt, but then circumstances arise and things come to trouble us, and Satan comes and plagues our mind with different thoughts. And during all this, then at some point, we begin to doubt. We may start it out, we didn't doubt, but then we begin to doubt. And it's the same thing with, how many remembers when you were saved? A couple of you? Remember when you were saved? There was something happened to you, and you went forth and believed it with all your heart and testified of it. Now, there's been times in your walk Satan's come and tried to get you to doubt that, but you didn't doubt it. You held on. If you do the same thing with everything else, when he comes and tries to get you to doubt, just hold on. Then you'll see that sickness won't have any power over you. You'll see that other things that the enemy comes against you with has no power over you as long as you won't doubt. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he asked the question, believest thou this? If you can believe that and not doubt, realize when he said, you'll never die. This body may pass away, but it's impossible for you to die if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on him, then it's impossible for you to die. You are eternal. You'll live forever. This body may pass away, but this body is just an outward shell that we have, that we walk around in on this earth. And we already know it dies every day. The older we get, cells die and they don't replenish themselves. And, but we can never die. The thing we need to do is when there's some thought or something coming to you to try to get you to doubt, or something trying to play in your mind to bring doubt, recognize where it's coming from. Recognize who it is. God never comes and tries to get you to doubt. The preachers aren't going to come and try to get you to doubt. Your brother and sister is not going to try to get you to doubt. But it's the devil that comes and tries to bring doubt to you, because if he can plant a seed of doubt, it will hinder your faith from receiving anything. Now, you remember the story when Philip was lifted up and set down where the eunuch was? There was the eunuch in his chariot, and he was reading the word, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man show me? And Philip began to take and teach the word to him. And then he said, the eunuch then said, there's water here, what doth hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So come without doubting. No doubt. Believe with all your heart. To believe with all your heart is to push doubt away from you. You can't have doubt and believe with all your heart. That's just simple. So what Philip was telling him was, you got to do this without doubt. Believe with all thine heart. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip baptized the eunuch there. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham, I was reading a message proving his word. In that message, Brother Branham was talking to the people, and he said, Satan's been trying to get you to doubt me for a long time. But said, if you'll come and push that doubt away and just believe, he said, if you don't believe me, believe the word. Believe the works. He was saying the same thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. And he said, the Son can do nothing except the Father doeth it first. He has to see the Father, hear from the Father, and then he does. It's the same thing that was with Brother Branham. Brother Branham never did anything just to wing something. But he did as the angel would speak to him, and as the Spirit of God would come on him and begin to speak. And you remember many times Brother Branham would say, now whatever he said to you, showing it wasn't Brother Branham. It was somebody else that was doing the speaking. And, you know, to believe that, you have to believe that when the minister's up here speaking, that it's not him speaking out of his own mind or his own ideas of things. I'll tell you what, if you, Brother Phil's the only one here that could grasp this, but if you only knew how the messages came to us, the sermons, I can sit there and have nothing until God brings inspiration. It's not me trying to sit there and think, now, what's going on? What can I preach on? What's going on in the church? Maybe I find something I can preach on by looking at what's going on in the church. No, that's not how it works. Until he comes and inspires something to me, I ain't got nothing. You know, last Thursday I preached on No Doubt. Well, I had no idea when I preached on it then that I'd be preaching on it again tonight. I didn't know. It wasn't until the next day when I was studying on Friday that it came to me and I realized I got to preach another message on this. But I just cause I got inspired to it. And I tell you, when you know you've got inspired something, then you get it together, then there's no pressure. When you are waiting for inspiration and you got nothing, I'm going to tell you something, it brings some pressure on you. You feel the pressure of, you know, I got to get up there and do something besides just say praise God and clap my hands. And I've seen a lot of, I've seen ministers, especially in some of the denominations that didn't have a thing really to say. They, you know, got up and said some glory to God and different things like that, you know, and shouted a little bit, and nothing wrong with that. But there should be, you should have something to say. And the only way you get something to say is you got to read, you got to study, and you got to pray and wait on God to give the inspiration. Many times when I study, I'll find a quote or a scripture or something. It doesn't have a thing to do with what I'm studying on. But something inspires me to it, and I don't know what to do with it. So I just save it. And know that later on, something will build from that. And so I've got files on my computer saved, different things that it came to me that didn't fit in what I was studying. And I thought, well, the rest of that will come to me later. And it does. But it takes God to do it. And the thing is, what I'm getting at is, if you can imagine sitting there, not having anything, you haven't got an inspiration yet, and yet you've got to sit there with no doubt that God is going to come on the scene and bring something. I can remember years ago when one time I was at the house, and some things happened in that, and I forget now which message came first, but something happened, and I got a message on asking for forgiveness. And then the next Saturday, I was waiting for inspiration, and I got inspiration for forgiving. Somebody asks you forgiveness, and then you be able to forgive. And it was just little things. I won't go into it tonight, but there were some little things that happened in the home that caused me to be inspired to that. One, I had to go ask for forgiveness, and then I had to forgive somebody. And so those two things inspired me to preach those messages. And you never know how it's going to come, but you sit there with no doubt. And I've come before, friends, I've come and had nothing and walked in the office back there and still had nothing. And the service is going to begin in about another hour, and I ain't got anything. And I sat down back there at the desk with no doubt that when I get ready to walk out there, I'm going to have something. God's going to give me something because he has to. If I've done everything that I was supposed to do, then God's obligated to you to be able to feed you. God's obligated to give something to bring out here to you to feed you. So I'm able to sit there with no doubt and within sight of a few minutes have a message put together that I can come out here and preach an hour on or more sometimes. But you realize you've got to do that. I've got to believe with all my heart, not have any doubt that God's going to come on the scene and he's going to do something. I've seen it here where Satan has tried to get people to doubt the ministry here. Seems to me by now, after all these years, especially you that's been with me all these years, you'd be at a place where the enemy wouldn't be able to come in and cast any doubt that way. Y'all know me by now. And I've lived before you all these years, and so has Brother Phil. And we've lived before you all these years. And so if something comes to your mind to try to bring doubt, you realize it's the devil. Because he's always the culprit. When it comes to these things, it's always the devil. But see, he does it in such a slick way. He'll come and bring a little thought to you. And then you'll start to think on that thought. And then as you think on it, he'll bring a little bit more and add a little bit more to it. And what he's trying to get you to do is to reason those things he's putting in your mind. And if he can get you to reason on that, then he'll be able to get you to doubt. But Satan will work, and we've said this before about the five gates of the spirit. And Satan will work on those five gates, imagination, reasoning, memory, conscience, and I always forget one, affection. He'll work on those five areas to try to get you to doubt. He'll work on those five areas to try to get you to a place where you sit here and your mind's somewhere else and the preaching's going on and it gets done and you ain't got nothing because the whole time you were somewhere else while you sat here or had your thought on something else. And I've seen the devil come and try to bring a critical spirit on somebody. And if you'll accept that, you'll sit in the service and be so critical, you won't get a thing out of it. And if you want to be critical, if you'll take that, you're going to find things to criticize because everybody in this building, I hope you're not surprised by this, but everybody in this building is human and subject to mistakes and faults. And so there's plenty the devil can criticize. But the thing about it is, we're not worthy in our own works. We're not made worthy by how good we can be. We're made worthy because of Jesus Christ was worthy. And it's in him being worthy that we're accepted by God. Jesus said, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." So, he's telling you what I'm saying, it's not of myself. It's the same thing. I don't care whether it's me or Brother Phil or some evangelist that comes in here we have some special speaker or somebody like we had here recent from the Philippines. It doesn't matter. You got to realize it's not their words that they're speaking. It's not them. But that it is God that's come down and he's speaking to you. There's a reason we come here. And that reason is to be fed. That reason is to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to be instructed, sometimes be corrected. And that's why we come. We come for one purpose. We want to be ready to go when the rapture takes place. We come here expecting God to prepare us for what is coming ahead. Then we must believe that it's him that's doing the speaking. That it's his words, it's his message, it's his sermon. I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 8, a couple of verses there, 38 and 39. Paul writes this, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," and I highlighted that, "nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, not even things to come. Things we don't even know about yet. They haven't even come across our path yet. But there's nothing going to be able to separate us from the love of God. What could be some of them things to come? Some of it could be your own mistakes. But even your mistakes can't separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. And there's times, friends, when you'll be challenged to believe. And in those times, that's where you need to be able to say, like the man told Jesus, "Help thou my unbelief." Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I want to be able to believe with all my heart, no doubt whatsoever. You say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and believe it with all your heart, it shall be as you've said. It'll happen. Many times, you know, it's mountains metaphorically in our lives. In other words, we're not talking about dirt and rocks. We're talking about circumstances. Mountain of circumstances that comes in our way. How are we going to be able to do this? Who's kept us this far? You know, I get concerned every year at tax season. And I know I'm, you know, because of the way my job is and the way my income is looked at by the federal government, why I always owe. And I can pay in quarterly and still end up owing. Well, you know how it is. I don't know if any of you had to pay that way. Maybe you all that work and have gets a regular paycheck and they take it out regularly from you. It's not really that big a concern. But when you got to pay in on April the 1st, and guess when the first quarter falls? April 15th, then the first quarter falls April 15th. So you're paying in for the last year and paying ahead for the next year on the same day. That ain't easy. But every year I get worried and I'll say to my wife, "How are we going to do this?" She said, "We've done it every year. God's always made a way." Done it every year. God's always made a way. Now, I just use that as an example, something that I could relate to, something in my life. But you've got things that you look at that it'd be a seem like a mountain to you. And you've got to believe that God can remove that. Not have any doubt that he can overcome that and take you. Look, it's like I've heard some say, if there's not a way around it or a way over it, then God will make a way through it. Somewhere or another, God's going to take care of it. He's took care of us this far. You know, I look at it, I'm soon going to be 57 years old, and God's took care of me all this time. Why would I doubt him now? To doubt him now, Brother Branham said, would be a sin. He was telling the people, talking about them doubting about the angel coming to him, or doubting about that God had sent him, or doubting that it was the word of God and those things. And Brother Branham said, to doubt that would be a sin. And it comes to a place to where we ought to know, after all this time God's took care of us, we come to a place where to doubt that he could do it, continue to do it, would be a sin. He's going to be able to do it. No doubt. The Bible says that the word God is sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts intents of the heart. So it refers to the word of God as a sword. Now, it's not just any old sword. It's a two-edged sword. And it says it cuts asunder. Now, it depends on the hand that's holding it. It can only do, Brother Bram said, he said, when you lock swords with Satan, he said, realize this, Satan don't even actually have a sword. All he's got is a stick. He said, but if the hand that holds the sword is weak, then the stick will be able to overcome it. But if the hand that holds the sword has faith, then the sword will win every time. And Brother Branham began to explain about, you know, a right-handed person holds a sword in their right hand. And then when they cross swords, and he talked about how there was a hilt on the sword. And he talked about when you lock swords, and he says if you slide that on down there, he said you come right with the enemy's heart. And he said that's the way to know to overcome the devil is hold the sword with faith. The sword, the word, was what Jesus Christ used when he was confronted by the devil. He didn't use any of his powers or call on any heavenly powers. He simply used the word, the sword. That was his sword. And he used it and showed that every time, if you'll stay with that and use that, every time the devil will be defeated. You can defeat him in temptation. Hallelujah. Sure, he comes all the time bringing temptation. This world's full of temptations. And being that we're in this human flesh, why, this human flesh is like putty in the devil's hands. This flesh is so susceptible to things. You know, contacts this earth, you know, through its five senses. And the devil works on those senses. Like I said, he worked on the five gates of the spirit. He works on the five senses of this body to bring temptation. But with the word, you can overcome temptation. Now, when you make a mistake and fall in temptation, don't let the devil sit there and condemn you and just, because that's what he'll do, is just rake you over the coals and condemn you and have you thinking, well, now it's all over. I've done it now. But that's not the truth. You've got to come back to the thing that there's no doubt that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And hold fast to that. Just like I said, when you got saved and Satan tried to get you to doubt that and you held fast to it, nope. I know something happened. I know I got saved. Like that song said, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. And so then you're able to hold fast. Will you do that with everything else? When he tries to bring doubt, hold fast. When temptation comes, hold fast. When Satan comes with his condemnations and condemning ways, hold fast. Don't let him bring, see, he uses all these different things to try to bring doubt to you. That's why he comes and he tries to entice you, and he comes and he'll lay traps for you. He's a sneaky guy. He'll lay traps for you. Traps that he thinks that he, because he, Brother Branham says, Satan has studied you. And he says, Satan knows each one of you. He knows what your weakness is because he studied you. He has studied mankind since the beginning. And so he knows the weaknesses of mankind. And that's where he's going to attack you at. And what one person's weakness is, somebody else's might be something different. But that's where he'll come, and then he'll try to get you to fall into a trap. And then when you do, then he comes and tries to get you to doubt your existence or doubt that you'll be able to get healed or whatever. And that's where you've gone to, as I said, stand fast, just like you are about being saved. You know that it happened, and then you have no doubt. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So no doubt. Say it with no doubt. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Now think about that. Think about that. What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, he didn't put no boundaries or what I want to say, limits on what you could desire. Of course, we don't desire the world, things of the world, but you may desire a new house. You may have a need, and you may desire a new house. If you ask, you shall receive. My mom and dad, my dad before he passed, they were living in a house that was a two-story house with a full basement that was finished. So it was like three floors. And there was a half bath on the first floor and in the kitchen, and the half bath and the living room, dining room. But there was no shower or bathtub or anything on that first floor. So Dad either had to go upstairs or downstairs to get to a shower. And he had also downstairs in the basement where he had his computer to study and all those things. And both of them were in their 70s. And Dad was having trouble getting around. When I saw him, I thought, my, how feeble he'd got. And he was really having trouble walking and getting around. And so they decided what they needed to do was they needed to sell that house. There was not a thing wrong with that house physically. But they realized they needed to sell it because they needed something on one level, more like a ranch to where Dad wouldn't have to climb the stairs. And he needed something like that. So they decided they were going to sell that house and build a ranch. And it took him some time. And Mom told me that there was times when Dad would ask her, "Are you sure we're going to be able to do this?" She said, "Yes, I believe we can. I believe that the Lord will give it to us." And the Lord did. Of course, my dad passed before the house got finished. But my point being, God knew my dad was going to pass before the house got finished, but he still gave him the house. And it's turned out to be also a lot better for my mom, because where she moved into the neighborhood where they built the house is a neighborhood for people who are 55 years and older. And it's a community where they mow the grass for you. They take care of planting the shrubs and all that kind of stuff around your house and all that, you know, landscaping. They take care of all that. Now, there's a small fee, monthly fee, you know, for being part of that community. But they come and this is something needed up north, they come and clear the snow out. So Mom, you know, here at the other place, she was having to mow the grass. Dad got to where he couldn't get around and do it. Mom was having to mow the grass. She was having to go out and remove the snow and all these things. And she wasn't young either. And so God just made a better way for her. No, you see what I'm saying? God knows all things. And here they had asked for something that they desired. And they believed that God would make a way for them to have it. And he did. Now, I've used that as an example because there's things maybe that you desire. The Bible says, whatso things ever you desire, if you believe when you ask for them, you shall have it. So if you believe that scripture, then there would be no doubt that God is going to provide it. The message of Angel of the Covenant. It's reading something here. Brother Branham says, it was in the prayer line. He said, "How do you do? I suppose we're strangers. God Almighty, who created the heavens and earth, who his presence I stand in now, knows that your life could not be hid as far as he far as his will would be. He could reveal it. Oh my, I just wish I could explain that, what I mean now. Don't doubt. Your prayer is answered, lady," said in there with the red coat that's got high blood pressure. And he said, "See, look, she prayed. And he said she was healed. But he said, don't doubt it. Now, if she approaches that with no doubt, and you realize that you've got the Word of God to stand on, that He is the Lord our God that healeth all of our diseases. So we've got the Word to stand on. And if we believe that with no doubt, He says, don't doubt, your prayer's answered, lady sitting there with the red coat on, it's got the high blood pressure. God bless you. God be with you. Go home and may the Lord bless you. Then He says, you that's got liver trouble, haven't you, sitting right there. You want God to heal you? You believe He will? All right, accept it. He said, I see an accident. I see a car running through here. It's an accident. Somebody's in an accident. No, they've hurt their hip. Raise up. Accept your healing. God bless you. Be made well. Now, if you were sitting in those meetings and He called you out in the way that He called them, I'm telling you, you would sit there and not have any doubt. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I couldn't call you out and tell you, well, this or that or the other's wrong with you or whatever. You come to me and say, the doctor said I've got this or that wrong with me. But the Bible is the same. It said they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It said if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's the Word. See, if you stand on the Word, then you can stand with no doubt. I was reading where Brother Branham told a story about the vision that he had about the silver-tipped grizzly. And he was with another brother, and that brother was very familiar with the area where they went. And it said what there was caribou moss that was growing in different places, but it was kind of open, the area. And the brother that was with Brother Branham, he said, now, Brother Branham, he said, this isn't even bear country. He said, I've never even seen a bear in this area, let alone a silver tip grizzly. And he said, well, didn't your brother get healed? My primer said, yes. He said, you don't doubt that. Don't doubt me on this. So he said, no, Brother Bram, I don't doubt you. I don't doubt your word. He said, but what I'm telling you is there is no bears up here. But friends, he got that silver-tipped grizzly in that area. And the man was saying how far off they could see in every direction because of the country they was in. And he said, you couldn't see a bear nowhere. But he got the bear. See, Brother Branham, when God would give him a vision of something, Brother Branham would approach that with no doubt. He didn't have any doubt. He had been on the platform when God would give him visions of what people were doing and what they had done and what was going to happen and all that. And he would tell them by the vision all these things. And God then would heal them. And all those things that he saw in the vision were correct. So when it came to these things and God gave him a vision on it, you say, what concern did God have with him getting a silver-tipped grizzly? You know, I'm not a hunter, and I don't have any hunting trophies. You know, I don't got no deer hanging on my wall or anything else. But I realize that God gave him that to build not only his faith, but others around him. Now, I'll tell you what I have done. Years ago, Brother David, this is when I hadn't been here very long. Brother Dave had come to me, and he had been seeing this big buck, and he had tried to get it, and he asked me to pray that God would give it to him. And so I was wanting to reach him and get him saved. So I said, I prayed to the Lord and said, for that reason, you know, to show him that you answered prayer, give him that buck. And God did. And that happened a couple times. Then when he went through his thing where I cast him out of the church and all these things, and I found out he was hunting back over by my house, then I prayed and I said, Lord, let him not get one deer. No deer whatsoever. And he saw Jessica, I think it was at Tim's funeral, and he told her, he said, somebody has been praying, I think somebody's been praying the deer off of me, because they used to pray them on me. And it's true. And then I've prayed one on him since he came back to the Lord. What's God doing? He's building his faith. Whatsoever things ye desire. Now maybe you don't desire a deer head hanging on the wall. But to show you something as little as that, something that to you would be meaningless, perhaps, God's turned around to build faith and give it to him. Whatsoever things you desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask God that you will strengthen their faith. Lord, let us go forth from here, dear God, with conquering the enemy that tries to bring doubt to us. May we identify that it's him and go forth with no doubt. Lord, I pray you'll bless your people now, Lord, and bless them for the oncoming day ahead, Lord, that they have to go to work. And I pray you'll bless them, dear God. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless me, dear God, with another message for Sunday. Lord, and you will bring everybody back here, Lord, at the appointed time to hear from you. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name, giving you the glory. Amen.